We'll be taking you through the presentation of the situation and what actually transpired with them. Honorable Chair, I don't know whether I can do it standing or the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm prepared to stand. Delmas is situated in the Roman area. move to the second slide. Now, what we did here, we went back a little bit to look at the recommendations of the 2003 and a little bit of recommendations that were made for the 2005 LCAP. Then we looked comparing the recommendations, including what progress they've been made. The first thing that said we had on the recommendation, it was that we know the status of the underground water. That it is contaminated. And what we have to do, we have to monitor our fluoride levels in all time. And what action do we do to do that? Two technicians were appointed to drop within the municipality with an annual support of 500,000. The second one was that drop to assist with the fluoride monitor. What the regional office did, we appointed one technician which was placed in one standard office to assert over and above the staff that has already been placed in government system. And then the installation of electronic building system, which was also done by the municipality secretary of 135. And then the connection of people's boreholes to boreholes and members of the bore, whereby we wanted to collect all the water from government to a central point where to be distributed. That was also done with our contribution and local government each contributing 1250 million to the municipality. And then the connection of the Delmas Red Water Pipeline, that did not get done because it was one of the long-term goals to say we had the short, medium to long-term, whereby, as we discussed now, that project there is already ongoing and should be completed, I think, we've been given 2008, somewhere 2008, that's correct. That's where it should be completed. Then the construction of the purification plant. This one has a recommendation of 2003 and a recommendation of 2005. The process of building this plant has started, whereby this plant was submitted last year and approved. Already the pipeline system has been constructed towards replacing all the asbestos pipes. It's just that the funding was a bit of a shortfall whereby the premier came in to be able to reallocate funding, and that project was, I think, will be completed by, we're given a date of July 2008. The reason why we're taking two projects, we're connecting to the Rand Water Pipeline and building of the waterway. I think I must make it clear. The connection to the Red Water Pipeline, if you look at the cost and the implications of the community in terms of being able to pay for the water, and also looking at the dolomitic area whereby a certain amount of water has to be drawn out from underground. So there was no way that you can use the underground water, because if you use the underground water, then the water was going to shoot up and become a problem eventually. So the municipality has to tap to a certain amount of water. But that amount of water, they cannot overtap because that should also cause sinkholes. So we have to do a balance, taking into the community cost, taking into the area of where the municipality is. In combination, we came up with the two models. As we continue, the establishment of the underground water management plan, which we have it in place now, and which was also paid by the department in the year of 212,000, the section 78 to check the capacity of the municipality, whether do they have enough resources and capacity within to carry out the water service. It was also done by the department, and also assisting the municipality where the Kamala district is doing the funding for the water service development plan, and DWARF coming in to assess those plans and be able to make sure that the plans do align to the national budget. And then also the appointment of EVA to assist in the wastewater management, which is one of the problems in Delmas, the sewage treatment waste, whereby there are companies around Delmas which are discharging to the municipal sewer, and the municipality, well, there were no proper bylaws to make sure that the over effluent being discharged, they can be penalized. We have put that in place, and everybody is working on that. And also then the movement of those people who were living in the informal area, whereby they were still using the bucket system, about I think 1,300 or 1,400 households, whereby three farms were bought by the municipality to move the people completely from those informal areas to formal areas where they would then get houses and proper water and sanitation. Now, if I can talk a little bit on the health situation of what is currently or what is happening in Delhi, because that the number of Delhi cases were received by the hospital system, general practitioners, and with the highest of about 90 patients per day up to so far. Well, what we also discovered, which will be covered by my colleague when he will be doing now the more detailed, you know, presentation in terms of the water quality analysis, whereby is that there have been some pockets of chlorine dosing, you know, whereby there was very low chlorine dosing somewhere in the system. What we also know is that 11 admissions have been reported, whereby 8 already discharged, with 3 children still in hospital up to yesterday, which is the 20th of November. Up to date, it's about 1,003 cases that have been reported. And the Department of Health is still dealing with a comparison of comparing the 2005 outbreak and the current outbreak of diarrhea in Delhi to have the definition of what transpired then and what is the trend. Now, I'll touch a little bit on this because it's one of the issues which is also debated, the issue of the eradication of the bucket system. As we speak now, 360 households have been removed already from the formal, from the informal area to the new settlement where these farms were born. They've been removed to houses which already have water and sanitation. And already the Department of Local Government has already committed 1,000 houses for the remainder of the people that are still living in those in informal houses. And we must take note that, honorable members, that these houses are coming with a full waterborne system, whereby we don't have now to rely back on buckets or the people are still as it was in the case in the common area. And exactly where the main buckets are built, there are still the main buckets in those common areas. Now, as a department, what immediate interventions have we embarked on? What we did, we deployed about 7 clusters to our system in Paris on a daily basis in taking the water samples and monitoring the chlorine levels at all times, whereby 3 officials were coming from the regional office and 3 officials coming from head office, full-time deployed to the municipality. We have further committed a 750,000, whereby we're going to appoint, as from Monday, we're going to have management contracts to be able to try and assist the municipality in addressing the challenge that they are facing. The 2 projects whereby we propose to connect to the rainwater pipeline is amounting to about 52 million, and the building of the purification works is amounting to 25 million. Both already combined, they went up to about 78 million, whereby the premier already yesterday they had a meeting, but he made comments and commitments that they will look into it of how they will find the money. We are waiting to hear on Thursday there might be a type of suit whereby there might be an outcome on that one, but not yet. But if you go further, it also, there is an undisclosed amount of money that has been made available to finish off some of the projects by March, continue with the work that has already started, which by yesterday I was not able to get how much funding has been allocated between these 2 projects, which is the red water connection. And we are also looking at the long-term sustainability of the department as well, whereby we want to propose, we are proposing to the program of establishing management contracts at the district level, whereby the district will be able to oversee the management, the operation and maintenance of all municipalities within our province to ensure that sustainability, water conservation, demand management, revenue does happen to all our municipalities. But that is still a discussion with the province, and we hope by January we should be having something in place. Now, where I ended now, we'll take you through the proper actual water quality investigation that has gone through as from this date that you see, and the detailed information of what we discovered in that water up to this point. Without delay, then I'll request the NIDA just to take us through the water quality investigation that we have undertaken in Germany.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Honorable members of Parliament and media, other colleagues, in the 1993 report, one of the recommendations was because in 1993, over a period of November, December, around about the same time of the year, there was also outbreak, and this outbreak that was recorded also occurred. And in that report, part of the recommendation was that a watchdog needs to be established. And I think in 1993, the terminology watchdog was thought appropriate, but nowadays, that's not appropriate, but we talk about actually regulating what type of oversight that needs to take place. Now, but anyway, so we as the Department of Water Affairs, I'm actually heading the unit that's called the Hungry Lawyer, heading the unit that's called the Drinking Water Quality Regulation Unit, and amongst other things, we are doing that, but we actually going to do technical regulation of all water services. Understanding that we want to change the initiatives of our water service authorities and other institutions. When we went to Delmas on the 30th of October, when we were alerted to the fact that our intervention there was a little bit late, we actually have to admit that we went there with this approach. We had to split the situation as we were focusing on, because we were approaching it, because we couldn't just go in there and say, it was the cause of the diarrhea. That would be a little bit premature at that stage, because we were actually approaching the peak of the outbreak at that point in time. So our first approach was to ensure the water that currently was at that stage recirculated in the system of the water supply system of Yama, whether it was safe for human consumption or not. So we followed also, we did order something, we did all tests, but I will get to that, I'm running ahead of myself here. But the second thing should be that we actually investigate whether the drinking or the resource water were responsible for the outbreak. Certainly to make a recommendation and to come up with a report to the acting DG and the minister that was in charge. This is so new. At the 1st of November, these were the results that came out. With this certain quality form and program, would you indicate the organism or indicate the test whether there would be any type of microbiological contamination in water that is drinking to be the cause of the patient for the diarrhea, as it was received from our laboratory in Pretoria, the Resource Quality Service, formerly known as the Institute for Water Quality Studies. They've done that for us, and as you can see, zero reading. Observations that we must make out of this is that the water at that point in time was safe as far as microbiological contamination is concerned, and nothing was contested, and the water was in compliance with the microbiological standards as being listed in stands 2.1 stands of African National Standards, and we have been legislated that municipality should adhere to. And this prompted us to make a statement at that stage in time also that we have found that the water was at that point was recirculated was safe. However, when we look on the actually went to the resource side, we can actually see that there's a possible problem to the plant. Because we have a problem in the A field. They almost have 43 fields of subsurface water. The three compartments of the actual for the A, B, and C fields, as we call them. B and C fields proved to be quite okay, no problems in terms of microbiological contamination. However, if you move to the A field, you can see that we have a problem here. However, I must also listen to you and tell you this to you that in 1996 was found that these four groups were contaminated as well as in 2005. However, the levels have been actually increased of contamination. Observations that we can make about this is that the A field was heavily polluted, amongst others, also people from pollution, and as I mentioned that before. But however, as it was suggested that the pollution level did increase, but most prominent would be the possible sources for this increase in in contamination, could be that there's what? To take some overloading that's taking place at the wastewater treatment plant that actually just upstream from the stream that runs across the ABU and actually get down to the plant that's fresh. The chemical result of this is also the depth, and as you can see here, that it's not much of a problem with this area in terms of chemical results. I want to give you an interpretation of this result just now. It means that there were some complaints in the community, and it's still occurring here when they say that sometimes the water is a bit colored and brown, and they deem this as an indication when the water is polluted or not. Unfortunately, that is not completely correct, because when the water is discovered to get not due to the iron, because that was the initial thinking, that might be the problem, because other compartments of the aqueous have been closed previously due to high levels of iron. This has been proven to be not true, because seen in the results, it was not much of a problem. Manganese, however, proved to be a little bit problematic, and this has been found to be due to the quality of the rock, the subsurface stone, or subsurface material, where the water percolates through when it goes down into the aquifer, and that actually caused the water to be discolored now and then. However, it is of strategic value and not a health risk. Mercury levels have been proven to be beyond intermediate limits. But usually it was found only in one of the boreholes. It actually gives a minute contribution to the overall quality, volume of or quantity of water that we actually circulate in the system. It was decided that this might anyway being diluted, and she could go to the point where we actually have a conventional treatment facility on site that this problem won't be actually being limited. The same for the arsenic levels, but this was reported in the 2006 Research Quality Services report, and conventional treatment would be the answer for that. Just to bring to your attention that these exposure to the situation to mercury and arsenic would over the long term of continuous exposure and excessive levels definitely have an impact on the people. In the University of Seattle, because we have found that this is going to be a bigger problem than actually what we thought it initially, to actually identify what is the problem that we are facing in this instance. So we are broadening the one unit that actually do water quality studies and environmental studies to help us to build a holistic intelligence from the analysis data that we actually see, and this will form part of the drinking quality report, and the university's involvement will assist us actually to build intelligence for the future, because it has been found that there is some relation between the period of the year, especially since 1993, 2005, and 2007. Sorry, I'm sorry for that. He doesn't want to do that, I think, but it's fine. We also brought in the University of Pretoria because we have found that obviously we would like to know what the viral type of quality of the water is. In some of these laboratories can give you that. And Dr. Morty Taylor is one of the gurus in the country, and actually asked to actually assist us with this. This is the result as was communicated to the left one, that the A3 borehole previously mentioned to you also to be the borehole that was contaminated. But has it been found to actually have some rotavirus, astrovirus, enterovirus, or unconfirmed? Then also the B4 shows some strains of rotavirus, but I must emphasize that please don't misinterpret this. Whenever they stand unconfirmed, it means that it's a result that has been taken out of culturing, out of the culturing process, and still need to go back into the system to be completed, which actually means that the confirmed result might be different to the one that actually has been prematurely taken out. So please don't make the assumption that we have found retroviruses before. Previously, people feel that we actually hide information. It's not a matter of hiding information. It's just a matter of that when you communicate something that is uncontrolled, it might change in the future. And we actually just pick up the DNA of something that's already died and unviable, and actually begin to lift in surface. Nothing confirmed has been found in the circulation system, but these things will be confirmed on the 22nd of November. Once again, we couldn't actually just stick to that one. We took again use of microbiological samples, just to make sure that we didn't miss something or identify something. But as you can see, in the list that we went through, once again, on the 14th of November, no contamination microbiological was found in the water. I've just showed you the chlorine record, three chlorine records, but unfortunately this is not possible, but also the graph later on will actually tell you that what has been found in that area. But observations that was actually coming through from the chlorine levels was that insufficient levels of three chlorine was detected as from September the 11th of 2007. However, this was also a constant pattern of low levels of free chlorine from 0.1 to 6. Now, if I had shown you what 0.1 to 6 was, it was the north, the southeastern part, the southwestern part. The 0.1 to 6 was the southwestern part of Delta South, who actually received water at times from manure. I'll explain that later as well. However, what actually evident that constant doses did take place, even though low levels were detected at points in time. And this is something that we must actually consider to note as well, that there was a period between 11th of September until the 14th of October where low levels were really fluctuating at that level of unacceptability. However, the good records that the municipality did keep allowed us to actually do the communication. Because if they didn't keep this record, we wouldn't be able to actually go into this, and a lot of things might have fell through. But the record that we actually compared also well with the audit result that was from the Department of Water Safety for that record. So the conclusion that we came on free chlorine was also that that at the time when we had this low levels of chlorine, those most probably was the time when the diarrhea outbreak was severe. We've got no conclusivity in terms of stool sample results that's linking to water sample results at this point in time. However, I can tell you that if you take into consideration, as I showed you earlier, that the H3 field is heavily concentrated in the water, and should there be a breakage in chlorination, that there could be a pulse of water that came untreated water, uncontaminated water actually, that actually came into the system that could not have been treated by the amount of chlorine what is available left at 3 chlorine. That could have been the trigger for the diarrhea outbreak in 2007 at 3:15. However, it must be clearly stated again, and I want to emphasize this, that it is not been found to be the reason for the continuance of the diarrhea currently in Java. The reason to say that is that the diarrhea is continuing. We have a figure like 1,006 of diarrhea cases up to now been reported. Yesterday, for the previous 24 hours, we had another 42 cases that have been reported, which means that if the water is safe, if the water is sufficient chlorine now in the water, if no microbiological intrapathogenic pathogenic real bacteria has been found in the water, then something else must actually be treating the actually trying the continuum of this area other than the water. Adequate levels did prevail as from the 14th of October, so it's more than a month ago, that we actually now have sufficient chlorine in the system. But then the last point is something very interesting, and it's something that actually came to our attention now. That due to this, I must also stress this point that Delmas is also struggling currently to extract that sufficient water from the subsurface some resources due to the low level subsurface that has been detected as well. So once they do, they augment from a pipe that supplies water from groundwater to other towns that ultimately are in the jurisdiction called Tundra and Yellow, which is more to the southeastern part that we are in. This pipe can be connected to Delma and has been so. So the water has been filtering through from the groundwater into the Delma as well from the groundwater. But this water is not chlorinated water, as you know. This water doesn't, has not been disinfected with chlorine. This is chlorinated water, which means it's been disinfected with chlorine, ammonia chloramine, which is something completely different than chlorine. Now when you use ammonia chloramine, it will detect a very, very low level of residual, because it is just like that. If you put chlorine into water, it will be there, it will cure the bacteria up to a point. That point is called the breakpoint chlorination. And whenever the stuff that has been cured in the region of the water, if they cure, whatever is left of the chlorine, that's called free chlorine. Now free chlorine is very important because after killing the bug, that free chlorine will cure everything else that will actually come through the system through other breakage or other infections. But however, that the sustainability of that free chlorine to sustain itself in the system will drop with time. But chlorination has got a much longer lifetime, but it's actually got a lower residue. So you will detect a lower level of chlorine. But you also found another thing that needs to be added as well, is that when you mix chlorine and chlorinated water, you create a new chlorine demand in the mixed water. Which actually will mean that the free chlorine from water that will come from the borehole that has been chlorinated will actually be used up again to address the new chlorine demand. I've really been told to try and explain this in most simplistic terms, and I've really tried it. But if it's not clear, please ask me again, I'll try it again. But if I can find just to reach breakpoint chlorination in mixed water, you need at least 0.1 milligrams per 100 milliliters of ammonia chloramine found in the water, in the chlorinated water. You at least need 0.2 milligrams per 100 milliliters of chlorine to reach breakpoint. That is before you can actually add salt for that which you require for free chlorine, for chlorine residual. Now this is a very important point. And before we can make any official conclusion about this point, there's other records that we're actually currently studying that also in this regard, as to justify how what role is this play in the output of the radiation drama as well. But it is requested for the expanding of the investigation. We cannot just leave it with water, as I previously told you. Because there's a couple of questions that left in my mind, still unanswered at this point in time. One of them is why is the diarrhea continued so long after the drinking of the quality of being restored? Secondly, a huge majority of the cases that have been reported to have diarrhea are infants, children that's 0 to 5, which actually means that though these kids, infants normally drink formula water, that is the mix of boiled water. Now, if that is the case, how do you bring the two of the water to get it to the outlet? Which is something that it still needs to be answered by our PhDs, environmental health practitioners from the Department of Health, which is on site currently at this stage, seeking to be answered as well. The recurrence of the same period. And I had a discussion this morning with Professor Paul Ralphus from the University of Johannesburg, giving him a brief what way they must do the research. Because in 1993 we had the outbreak over the period of November, December, a few weeks after the first heavy rain fell. 2005, the same, in September, the 11th, it was the outbreak there as well, after the heavy rain fell. 2007, after the heavy rain fell. There must be some correlation, some connection between this. That could just not be a coincidence, could it? So we perhaps it could, but we need to be very much sure. We need to investigate that part. This is not to ask if there's something happening with the confluence of runoff into this aquifer that actually causes a higher flowing demand over this period after the rain. Does the university work assist us to actually attempt to get all the answers for these questions we've asked? Now this is an interesting graph, and one thing I must say that I was so aware of when I was studying, the last thing you should do is apologize in the question that because then you make people attentive on it, but I have to do it because I just made a mistake of my numbering on my wire axis, so please forget that one at that time. But the point still remains. If you take these bars or these gray bars, this is how the effect is changing. We had a peak over the period of the 4th of November. We had a peak of 80 cases that were reported at that point in time. If you look at the blue line that goes up and down, that is the rainfall that actually happened over this period there as well. Next, if you look at the red line, the red line will give you an average in terms of how correlation took place over that period in time. And you can see now, I must tell you something happens here. I must give this, our people, together with the regional people, they do audits as we go along. And we picked up in an audit that the flow in was not unacceptably low, but it was low. And we actually went there and we gave them a handwritten letter, I've got the handwritten letter, a hand-delivered letter. And a little later to say, please check up chlorine, and that's what about this point in time. And you can see that the municipality did according to actually what he said, because it must have done something, because it even went to the point where we could almost say that it's now up at the marginal level. It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't as high. And that happened, but this is how it changed. A few days after the rain, there we had the outbreak. And the outbreak is something we can learn from the outbreak, and the outbreak has keep increase and is now gradually slowing down, but since we had that 42 of the other day before in this facility year of processing, which actually means that we are still in stabilizing mode, we are not really in a decrease mode, so we can say we are phasing up. More information is required actually before we can make that judgment. So that is just a pictorial type of view of what has been happening over here. Immediate recommendation has been made to the municipality to say that climate change and building inclusive monitoring should remain a priority to the municipality. And then the shortcomings with the water meter yellow, does it mean where the hand water has been taken to augment the supply in Delta? That needs to be sorted out. And we have discussed it with Van Water. Van Water was, I must say this, not really aware of the fact that the water was being mixed with other water, because otherwise they would have actually also made some recommendations, but we have discussed this with them, and they are most willing to assist in this regard to come to a solution as soon as possible. But we have found that additional barriers, including ozone dosing, would be required, and this must be in place before August 2008, before we have a new cycle where this occurrence could repeat itself. My colleague Paniana already reported on that one, that they're obviously working on that. And then, should any insufficient chlorine dosing levels be detected, the municipality will be obliged to immediately issue a boil water notice. And currently the boil water notice is going on. Yesterday our minister, Lady Mendes, was there in the government, and he was discovered that the boil water notice is going on. In spite of the fact that we cannot find anything that's been leaked between the water and the diarrhea at this point in time, as a precautionary measure. So I think that was, from my side, just an overview of what some of the investigations have come to the source of this problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred,
for your
update.
Thank you for what you have immediately
I'm not quite sure that it's a submission that Solomon should make. Coming up, we can't say anything, but we welcome the opportunity can say something, more particularly to address your committee. We want to look backwards as well as forwards, because our main concern is how many people must die and how many people must suffer before anything happens. It's very nice to hear and to see what Bart is doing now. The question is, this goes back to 1993, and what's been happening ever since then? And this is now the third outbreak. So we didn't know about the 1993 outbreak. But hopefully your committee members will start asking about how can this be the third outbreak. And our main concern really is that it might be the third outbreak in Delma, but it's hardly the third problem in the country. It's a national problem. And that's the point that we want to raise when we say we want to just briefly go backwards. Because in early 2005, research was released showing that very few municipalities in the country were meeting drinking water standards. The research, in fact, was absolutely horrifying in its implication. So we were so horrified by the research that we wrote to the then deputy, the DC of water. Our simple request, suggestion to the DG was, this is a national disaster waiting to happen. Let's not wait until it happens. Let's call a national conference, a national summit, bringing all the parties together, all the government departments, all the NGOs, all the research departments, all the trade unions together to talk about how to address this issue. I'm pleased to say we got a response from the DG, but the response was, don't worry, everything's under control. A short while later, cholera broke out in Delma. Our response to that was to write to the then Minister of Water Affairs, repeating essentially what we had said in our letter to the DG. There was no response from the Minister. We happened to meet with the then minister in person at the end of 2005. She apologized for not responding, but said she would certainly take our concerns very seriously and respond. I regret to say that's the last we ever heard from the minister. It's also worth mentioning that we sent copies of that correspondence to this committee, just as copies. And again, we regret to say there was no response from the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. That's going backwards. And now, of course, we've got Delma 2000, we've got the third outbreak, which is why we've come here now. So it's reassuring to hear the steps that are being taken. The important thing to emphasize is that current research is showing that it's still unsafe in most of the country to drink water. The question, therefore, is what is happening? It's not just the draft issue, perhaps more importantly, it's the portfolio committee that has the oversight. It's to ask, you brought them here to answer about Delma, but you're sitting on hundreds of Delmas that aren't reported. And perhaps the final thing to say, just by way of a comment on the information provided, was it points once again to national priorities. We were told that the reason why the pipeline and the purification site hasn't yet been built is because of cost. We're told that the cost is $75 million. Now, set that $75 million against the $20 billion that we heard last night is going to be the new cost for building Stadia for 2010. So $20 billion, no problem. The Treasury costs up, but we can't find $75 million. And that's why it's a matter of national priority. It really would be wonderful, Chairperson, if you and your committee could address national priorities. So we're not going to wait for Delta 4 or for a net or for the next wherever it might be, and whatever its name might be.
Thank you very much for that. We would urge you, if you're talking about the forward portfolio committee, And it is important to say to you that the fact that the portfolio committee has taken already is we have public hearings on the water policy and the water security. I think that the portfolio committee has been doing ongoing work in relation to this, for the national strike that you are referring to. I'm satisfied that the portfolio committee has, in each and every province that they've gone to, have made a difference to engage in this. Really satisfied and happy that we have come back, including the mining industry, have come back to us to give us an update on a regular basis coming out of the public hearing. So I started to note it quite sufficiently from outside. Well, I think we would welcome if there are any questions more from your side to the committee, because it's your right to do so. We will strengthen the work of the committee much further. Honorable members, you heard. I should thank you.
The chairperson, thank you. I'm honored by the process that's been here. Just as the chairperson, there's something I always that I've asked more than one before about the people of the whole world. And I want to come back to that question. But I just wanted to know if the department can tell me how many skills they're talking about in Delmas area. What are the total number of boreholes in this field? What are the total number of people served by these boreholes? And then, connected to that, Kevin, I would like to know, I've given the department on a few occasions the same example. There are two towns next to Oslo in the same area. Vegetables and the rest next to each other, in between the two, there are two irrigation stations that provide clean drinking water to the communities that live in those two towns. Now that two irrigation station has been there for a long time. All of the water that comes into and that leaves the irrigation station comes from boreholes, closed systems. None of the people in the area make use of the water until it is ready, it is purified. So it's from the borehole to the purification station, it's controlled, and when the water leaves, it's clean and ready to drink. I've mentioned this example on several previous occasions to this department, and I've asked, why is it that in many areas of the country, when so many people are making use of borehole water, why do we continue to department spend so much money in other ways assisting people to in some way clean the bowl of the water that comes from these bowls? And the committee chairperson has visited many of these boreholes, where the department actually has put up some structure to assist people to get most of the pollutants out of the water. Why isn't it when we have the technology actions that are being used in the eardrum that I'm speaking about, where water is purified like that, why can't we put in place a system? What stops us? What is it exactly that prevents us from using proven technology, like the technology that we use in those two towns, from assisting communities? Is it money? What is it? You know, we can't just put a, you know, I must agree what I just said, we can't just put a price tag on people's lives. You know, what is it that stops? I mean, we're not looking for the technology. It has been used for a while. What is it? Also, the chairperson, I would like you to come and just be careful. Do that. Just explain why not. Is it that the idea is to end the use of borehole water? That's the idea. And if the department thinks that they cannot implement existing technology, because that's the idea, then when are we going to get there? In this area, Delmas. You see, when we've seen so many great, you know, many problems. I'm really just testing main question that I have, because I've spoken about this before, and every time I'm asking a problem, the problem comes from borehole water, contaminated borehole water.
Thank you for that question. If that is the case, then if we do all the treatment and still living in the situation goes on and on, don't you think maybe that might be the cause of this contamination? Because you're testing and you don't expand the uncovering. Prevention is really better than cure. And the other one is that maybe they should explain what kind of pilot this is like. Also, what worries me a bit is when the presenter was talking about inserting a set of pipes. It seems that he's saying they are deconstructing a set of pipes. To my knowledge, when the share of them was selling when they were putting pipes, they were spacing out their testes. They were very unhealthy in my face. They had taken them out in my area. But I'm scared that they are still really putting their testes, the pipes inside me, in now in this moment. I'm very, and you told us about the dialogue. How long has it been that you said to me, dialogue with you, what is actually needed? Because every time we are told, no, pilots are still on the way, so that things should be done. Without pilots, things can be done. And I just want to know if what is there is support. These are some of the things that if they don't have capacity in coming up with those things, that's the role of our department. So that's why they are actually having people there to assist to reduce the capacity of the municipality. Let me come to the question. On the role of Sala.
Well, Chairperson, I think I think that in the third that the Sala is not my question is whether there is any on the water quality, the nature of the flood. Maybe I should also refer to the connection of the connection with the you indicate that you've given a time frame in 2008 to be completed. Can you confirm that will be done by that time?
You cannot have a report that says that all the people are being affected as a result of the war. It cannot be hardened. And this is the third outbreak, and it is much more devastating. Therefore, I want to agree with the farmer representative. First of all, before the farmer representative spoke, I myself told them that more than 10 years it was taking us to put this right. But I think that some explanation has to be given, because it's not something that happened just yesterday. Now, for a third person, I would say the Tamil company was called a national company, but I think that we should call it an extraordinary national company. I'm giving you an extraordinary because the situation is grave. Now, in the meantime, what can we do? Can we allow people, I don't know the number of people who have died, I hope not many, and those who are affected by Maria. So we have to take urgent steps to rectify the situation. Now, in our oversight work on the chairperson group, you agree with me when I say that all the experts that we met, by the way, all the experts that we met, and I remember posing the question, it was known in our country, the water is pure, it is drinkable, it is true, it is drinkable, but that's the assurance that they gave us. A lot of experts, now we are just ordinary ladies. Then, it is also disturbing to understand or to learn that building authorities have not responded, like for instance, the minister. Now, I want to suggest a further suggestion that we should call a meeting with the minister. And if there's a discussion there, I should say how she is looking at this thing and to make some concrete proposals to overcome the present crisis in government. Now, come and share. While we are taking steps to put this right, what should be done in the meantime? Now, we're talking about boiled water. I don't know whether this notice was intended. There's a question of purification tablets. I don't know whether it's been for that. Purification. In fact, I would be surprised or rather shocked in some places. It can be simple. Purification tablets, and it can be purified water. Right? But in the meantime, what steps are going to be taken? One does not know the population of Belmont, but could we not supply them, at least for drinking purposes, and for, not general benefits, but for drinking, such as to have a shower or a bathroom, you could use that water. So, in my view, from a chairperson, this is a very grave problem that is arisen, and I think that the portfolio committee on water reserves, we have a bounden duty to take this matter up vigorously with the minister and with all those who are responsible for providing clean, pure water. We cannot allow this after 10 years of our new development. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Really, it is a very, very, very much a serious concern to me, because it's the first outbreak in the history of Delma. And my question will also be to the department with regard to whether infrastructure was maintained in that area. Because they're only talking of the borehole, water that is green. And I also want to find out, as well, because they know that the water is contaminated in that area. But they found out that the green water, especially after the rainfall, they know that if that is the case, after the rainfall, they should add something, as the department has already indicated that they need to always keep the level of the chlorine where it is going to help to kill the bacteria inside of the water. But they also written a letter to remind them that the chlorine level is very low. So it actually shows that the municipality is quite a problem. And another thing is with regard to the bylaw and my commission indicated that the department indicated that there is a drainage that is taking actually taking water go home, and there is a bylaw that also is actually, there is no bylaw that actually helping to control that. So my question would be to the department, what has they done after discovering that there is this question of a problem of the bylaw and the theory that is used to do? So I think actually they also have to do something with that in that regard. Here that actually is giving us a clear shape. And I also support my colleague on this.
I questioned myself and came to a conclusion like this. As a repeating the concept appearance of youth contamination and diarrhea in this area is well known, and the continuation therefore indicates that there is ever a lack of zeal, because if you know that something is going to happen, because it happens occasionally at a certain time, then precautions must be made to prevent. And this is serious because it concerns people's lives. In some way, there's something wrong about the people who are managing the system. I understand that they know that the water is contaminated, but I haven't heard anybody taking a step to identify the cause of the contamination itself. Because before you can get the cause of contamination, therefore, it will be very difficult for you to treat that. Another thing is that, I don't know whether the research is being conducted on the area itself, because I know very much the farming area. And in agricultural farming, fertilizer is used, pesticides are used. And this, when rain comes, it soaks down to the water table. So if they ever try to find out if there is no traces of fertilizers or insecticides in the water. But if you have a problem, definitely you must get a solution. And if you can't get a solution for a prolonged period of time, therefore, there's something wrong with it. Can we say there's something wrong with the official public? Can we say there's something wrong with the private sector? That's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malanda. Thank you very much, Dr. Chen. Thank you, Mr. Malanda.
Let me thank the people from the department. The Minister of Department of Health, which is at my door for drafting with their presentation. I have two questions, Dr. Chen. One is with regard to the shoreline. You know, in 2003,
they indicated to us that there was a lack of proper chlorine doses. When we did the Delma, when I did the Delma with the people in that area. And they even said to us the people who were working in that area were not really technicians. So we got ordinary people, that is why they were not qualified to do this. I think that is why the Department of Water Affairs appointed two technicians. But I'm warned that before the fourth of November, even the permit indicated that there was this lack of proper chlorine doses. And that is why they were thinking that it's a court. You know, what is this petition doing there if they are not monitoring this? Or is it because there's a shortage of staff? That's one. The second issue is with regard to the issue of burning water. You know, when they were here early this year, I raised this question because in 2003, we were promised, the whole country were informed that there will be a pipe person to take water from the water to Denmark. 2 years down the line, there's nothing. And those who are from groundwater, they said there's nothing that's happening as of now. It was announced. I wanted to find out really, is this still going to be okay at the end of the day? In the presentation, it indicated that there is a pipe from Denver that is supplying yellow and sand. But that water is not purified.
They will clarify.
That water is mixed with the groundwater. And at the end of the day, I wasn't definitely sure what we were talking about. Oh, this water is mixed with that. But the person that I can say is that this is a crisis. And it needs an agent attention. You know when you are from Pumana, when they think we are all from Delma. You know, I don't know. And people will ask us, what is happening in Delma? Why is it not happening? You know, I think this issue needs to be really treated with agents.
Thank you very much, Honorable. And
I'm just asking this question to whether according to their observations. It has been said that there was just a ton of air pollution and the contamination of water in this area. So whether there are any warning systems that were put in place to prevent the outbreak, and what happens to the monitoring system to monitor the heavy contamination of fecal pollution in the area. Thank
yes,
Chapter 10. You know, when they were talking about the boiling water warning, I know most of the people, they don't have electricity in their houses, especially them. And now, if we are going to see people, they must boil their water. I know they're using the old stove, which is in the cold. How about for supplying them with zinc, because I know zinc can cause some of this, like the bacteria that cause diarrhea.
Thank you, honorable members. Just to add to what you mentioned, I think we of course appreciate the presentation that you have made here today, but I think there are some things that members counsel. We are worried that we're not hearing a definitive answer on what the problem is. And the members are correct and they express themselves in the favor of opinion, third time, and I think we owe it to the people of Delma, and we owe it to the people of South Africa to provide assurance. It doesn't help us to have a situation where there's uncertainty. And whilst we have all the different things that we have done and appreciate all these and the good time, of course, to do all these tests and so on. But we do think the human factor must be brought on board much more than the other things that we are doing. And in order to bring the human factor on board, we don't hear you saying that you are busy with a door-to-door campaign with the community development workers that will, from door-to-door, make sure that the following things are done. We don't hear you saying that the counselors are having X amount of all of this is your responsibility. But we do think, because of the situation, a partnership is needed here. So between yourself, between the Department of Health, between the Department of Local Government, and we do think we've got to use our human resources that we do have on the ground to reach the stories of people. To make sure that we end the fact that people will start saying they are not prepared to pick up the glass and drink water. So we welcome the fact that the minister showed the television to drink the water and all of that. But we all know when we were made to take them, we just did not die. It's when we showed that thing. It's got to do with, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you use water. We don't see if you need water. And when any doubt enters people's minds, I think we've got the member for a social crisis. And we think that factor must be taken care of. So while you are doing all of these other things, we do think that we constitutional responsibility of making sure that we provide security to people's lives must take center stage. And we would want you to tell us what are the steps that we are taking to do this. Because there are a number of grey areas in the report that we have given to us. We can have a meeting with the minister and all of those things. But I think what we are interested in is how do we make sure out there that what are being done on a daily basis is not just a television, these other things, but we can demonstrate to the people in South Africa that the following things are being done to make sure that their lives are secure and that everything else. And in particular, because this member is right, there are two opinions that say the situation in Delmas has got other challenges. For there is the electricity problem, the pesticide problem, and all of those things. Surely those kind of things must be taken into consideration. And I think what has got to be done is we're not persuaded if after 10 years, after the third outbreak, other than the money that must be set aside for the price and all that, we don't hear anything that is supposed to be a permanent solution. And we don't hear that. And I think the interest that we don't want another, we don't want this year this time, we don't want to call the year again that we said to us, we just want to know. Because we will fight with you to the Minister of Finance to say, now, the following thing. Keep the problem. we have is that we think that we talk to that over to the committee and assure it on a regular basis to meet us what the situation is. And lastly, I do want to say we increase vacancy, we think we're having good technology. The one that at least informs you on a specific situation. Are we in the role of the department to facilitate that solution to the problem? So that I think we have raised the issue that some of our interests on the has raised. I think we do want to say that we are disappointed that the situation has been. We are disappointed that the last time we were assured that a recurrent and reducing that what would help is to bring some certainty in this matter. Mr. Median, we would have loved you to tell us also what is in your plan with regard to this, because it also offers us a dream. We don't need to, because Mr. Median is looking up, you know, bringing this thing up over time. We need to look at the information that was put at the beginning to see what other things are we going to make sure that Conference that was well attended by municipality,
and it was a trigger to get connected to that system as well. Delmas has been connected very recently, and the thing is that, yeah, that is one of the things that actually helped us to actually see that there's something wrong, that's what we've done with the experience out there. We can improve on our early warning system, but if we take the information and take the processes of all warning systems and supporting on that system, and we measure it against the national standard that we should comply with, we said at this point in time that 94% compliance with the health aspect according to 2241, which actually means that we're doing pretty well in terms of national work, not only for the matter of such an action as the matching principles 2 years ago, in terms of the compliance of only a layer 43% in terms of monitoring. So we have made a lot of progress in that regard. I just wanted to say that the research, going back to Jauna now, the research has been done in terms of the agricultural impact of agricultural activities around Jauna. Yes, definitely we're taking that into account. And it's unfortunate that at this point in time, it wasn't possible for us to complete the research due to various factors that we actually are facing in terms of our scientific challenges, not because of any capacity constraints, but rather just because of scientific procedures that actually take some time to actually come to order on this. But definitely, the university challenge will be helping us and actually to get to the answer that on the way that now, in terms of how it is agriculturally to the situation around it. We can actually confirm at this point in time, and it was supposed to be shown on the presentation with us, that we have already found something which was also quite disturbing in terms of the mud puddles that's in the area after the rain. So that actually proved to be contaminated with some bacteria. Which actually means that that could be another factor that actually retains the current diarrhea. We have to keep in mind, as we said quite explicitly before also, that the water quality, the tap water quality, and the research water quality need to be split in this regard. And the tap water quality, according to all the results that we have, is safe for consumption. However, as precautionary measure, we have said about the boil water notices that need to come from, but other steps have been taken as well. Door-to-door campaign is going around, so environmental practitioners of health practitioners of the party are together with those of the municipality. The water council is also involved, the drinking water group, water council is also involved, to go to the people to inform them what extra steps need to be done in terms of preventative measures to ensure that we actually break down the cycle of the idea at this point in time. So we are also busy in that regard, doing something there. If I may, I already spoke about a few things earlier. The also contain my question. Yeah, I think that I've got a question.
Start from the beginning. My question was, how many field forwards do we have? I think in Belmont, in total we have 17, but the ones that are currently used is 10. And the people said just around a number of about 60,000 people that have been saved. Now, I think one of the stuff of the question that was looking at the King Karu and also was one. But you'll also bear in mind that remember that some of these projects whereby we identify boreholes that need to be reticulated. But where you find that there is a stream nearby with a purification well, the first option being to connect the people directly from water from a purification plant. A borehole is used as a second option where water viability is not sufficient. Maybe in that particular, maybe the crossing of the pipeline will be more. Then the borehole becomes the second option. But then the disinfection of borehole here, you take that into account, whereby there are also small systems of disinfection that go to the borehole, the small one, within that borehole area where it's pumping, where you can be able to do the mix of chlorine, and then as the water is pumped, it gets the disinfection. Then there was that one about contamination type of toilet, because people are saying, Telmas doesn't have any disruption. It's water point system, and only the informal area where there are buckets. And then the issue, I think you have water contact, informal. Informal. Rabbi Shabbat, I think also the issue of bylaws, enforcement and roles and enforcement, I think the challenge is bylaws are in place, but the challenge that the municipality is facing with, whereby we also try our level best to assist, is the issue of enforcing those bylaws. Bylaws are in place in most municipalities, but the challenge is the enforcement of those bylaws. And then there was an issue about the dolomitic area doesn't have influence on the water quality. Definitely, yes, the dolomitic area, that is where you find that there might be seepage of water, ground water might seep to the underground water. This also leads to the question of saying, now because the underground water, where does the contamination come from, etc. During the water, the underground water management study, it was discovered that the area of Delmas where the water is from is forming some kind of an aquifer whereby the water coming from the mines and also from the areas of springs and the other areas of the other side of the M12, all of it falls towards down underground towards Delmas, and that is where all the water meets before moving down towards Bongo Springs. And that is where that some of the contamination might not be necessarily coming from Delmas, from outside Delmas but leading to Delmas, where they are not having this water. And then the other question was that the exact date of the completion of the water works and also the pipeline. I have a correction there to make. I think the exact date that has been given by the contractor on site, including the project management, the completion of the water works will be given between August and September 2008, completion of the transportation. Then the connection of the Delmas pipeline, whereby currently we've got, I think it's a 200 diameter pipeline connected, whereby they have to increase the lay a new pipeline, which to create the pipeline, yeah, which then needs also a lot of bit of environmental studies investigation before the pipeline could be laid. The date of completion given also by them was that November 2009, the pipeline will be connected with Delmas. Now there was an issue of saying what other steps have we taken as a department also to assist in addressing this situation. As I also mentioned in my slide that currently we have the appointment of ERVAS, whereby ERVAS is dealing with the overloading of the sewage treatment works with the assistance of DWARF. They are already on site dealing with that. They've also been able to acquire the sludge testing machine, which is already on site, to try and deal with the sludge where the sludge will be taken out test. And on the water quality side, we have a management contract that will be starting in Delmas on Monday. And the terms of reference of for that management contract is to ensure that the proper water monitoring fluorine, the micro and chemical tests taken on a weekly basis, the proper water balance done to Delmas. They is also assisting the municipality with water conservation, water demand management, ensuring that cost recovery also does ensure to take place in all the areas and be able to deliver a daily report and a weekly report to the municipal manager of Delmas. That will be a team of technicians and engineers coming in to enhance the capacity that is already there, because the challenge faced by this municipality is expiring. Now, we're coming now touching this issue of is the infrastructure well maintained? Well, I think the issue of the Section 78, as we have done it as a department, clearly indicates that there is some gap, not only in Delmas, but quite a number of municipalities, that they are facing a bit of capacity challenges in terms of the water and sanitation, because it needs access. You know, that shows the areas where we need to have specialized people to deal with that, especially even when we look at the complexity of water quality management. Now, where are the municipalities? Do we have a role in dealing with this challenge that is facing us? Definitely, yes, as we have done in the past, with the two technicians that we have appointed by the municipality, sitting in the municipality through crowdfunding, and an additional technician that visits the municipality 3 times a week to give support to the technicians that are there, and also the water quality monitoring results that we do as a department, as our resident in Montreal Road, once a month with an external service provider, and also the other funding and support that we have been given to the community. Definitely we're taking this issue into very seriously. I think Leonardo has answered the issue of the pesticides and fertilizer, and then there was an issue that what are the technicians doing if there was a lack of proper chlorine in the system? What we have also picked up was that we have to move with technology. The situation in Delmas is such that there can be a human error, whereby in terms of the water that's going to the municipality, we have connected into the technology whereby you get results when the level of the reservoir drops. We are now in the process of enhancing that technology to say when the chlorine level drops, it can be stopped immediately on your cell phone to say something is wrong, like quickly rush to adjust or do something. But we are now currently working on that system, also with the management contractor that's coming on Monday. That is one of their terms of reference that they have. Then the issue of rainwater, to say why was it taken so long, you know, connect to rainwater, because at one point it was reported to the committee there, to the committee that this would be done to the public. There are a number of factors. The first of all one was that we had to deal with a business plan where the municipality submitted a business plan which was not addressing the entire water and sanitation problem in Delmas. We had to work with them to approve those business plans, which were approved, I think, last year. Now, both business plans are working out to about 120, 129 million when you now take the entire water and sanitation, including the upgrading and the growth and development of the town. After that, the municipality, the green funding that has gone through, it also now covers the issue whether the pipes are, we put in asbestos pipes. There was funding that came through from local governments in the region of 9 million that already did work going on towards the treatment work, whereby the 9 million is removing asbestos pipes, not installing asbestos pipes. If you come into Delmas from the entrance, you can see going to Delmas on the right-hand side, there's big trenches there where pipe is being laid towards the big reservoir where the purification well will be constructed. So all along, what has been done on the purification well was the environmental assessment report being done to know where the area where building the treatment well is viable to build it. And then on the rainwater, we have done already the feasibility of the pipeline, where now we're going straight, whereby the cost from 100,000 came to about 52, we're going into now the actual implementation of the pipeline. I think I've touched on the issues of the warning systems, and then there was a question about this. Why can't we maybe give the sachet, chlorine sachet, etc.? But we're still maintaining that the water is safe for human consumption. So, yes, we know the issue of this, but with our, I think, with the Department of Health doing their door-to-door, as Leonardo has said, we are more concerned about the hygienic issues, not the water quality, because that's compliant. So mainly it's more the hygienic issues whereby even the community development workers are involved to assist the municipality, ensuring that there is door-to-door contamination with the community. Then there is also a non-definite answer of what's the problem after 10 years. I think another discussion this where there's a number of factors, but we cannot pinpoint and say definitely, yes, it is the water. Water might have been a trigger, but at this point in time, yeah, we still are awaiting some final conclusion of what is all about. And the human resources on the ground must be utilized definitely. So we are utilizing them, but the water, the community development workers in Mpumalanga, whereby they are appointed by the Department of Local Government and Housing, they are out there trying to assist in the situation. We're looking at a permanent solution. The permanent solution, whereby some type of a blueprint, is that the structure that we're going to be putting in place we're doing this not only with these areas like in the Western High South, but we are trying to put a structure throughout the province whereby we're putting up management contracts that will be able to deal with operation and maintenance issues for all municipalities that will be housed at a different level, whereby private sector might also come in and assist in dealing with these challenges of management of water and sanitation. So we are working on that and looking at the best ways of how to deal with it. Once we have something on the table, we will be able to come forward and say, in Mpumalanga, this is how we are going to deal with it. But Western High South, there is already a model on the table whereby consultation with municipalities is ongoing and there might be implementation in the near future. You might as well remember that we have intervened in the Western High South where there were challenges by bringing in the two water boards, that is Makalis Water and Red Water, to try and assist the municipalities in dealing with the power. For the first time this year, we never had the challenges like we had in the previous year in the Western High South, where we had to cut water with water tankers. Then the last one was that, I think Leonardo, you also answered the first one, the issue of quality management. Yes, the water quality management, you know, done in the first day, is being implemented in most municipalities. But there is still some challenges whereby the system cannot work on its own. You still need the input from the municipality to fit into the system so that nationally you can be able to tap into the system, whether sitting in Cape Town, wherever. But we're working on that element to ensure that the municipality does have the capacity of ensuring that the information is being fed to the system. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Much further on this issue. I think you have put the undergo a in Dalma, notwithstanding that the parliament is rising on tomorrow. We will, of course, communicate with each other about that application that is going through the third or whatever. So this is committee itself can satisfy themselves about our findings in the area and what further needs to be done. And we're doing so because we were told many things the last time, both in Parliament and in the oversight in Mpumalanga and the other constituencies. And we are and we remain both dissatisfied and concerned that we have an excess return. Whether it's about cholera or whether it's about diarrhea, there are people that are ill. We are thankful that people have not died this time, but the fact that people have taken ill will remain of great concern for this community, and therefore we will undertake that. And I ask the members to fight on this term. No problem. Then secondly, of course, members, the other recommendation that was made is I think we will continue to engage with the department on the type of sanitation that are being used in their municipalities. We remain convinced that the choices that municipalities are making with regards to sanitation are not always the best choices, and that we think that not sufficient attention has been given to make sure that you know, we give dignity to people in the case of the sanitation and the quick fix of that. They said many times, but I mean, that's the one thing. Most of the time, I think you have spoken to the creators on the university plan, but the truth is they are so, you know, must be satisfied, and they are interested in what's happening from here onwards. We think that we want to resolve that central so that we will support a draft and all the different people that we think that we engage in with the further study so that we can end the speculation on what the provinces are doing. And we think we must do our utmost to engage with all the expertise that there is between ourselves and all the people of the department. I'm not quite sure after the private sector to do all of these things. The trust of the institution is not quite there. We think it's best for the state to take its own responsibility, not to rely on the state to be doing things, because then they cannot be held accountable like you. And look, you will hold the constitutional responsibility of making sure that this is the implementation of the all the other issues have been taken care of, honourable members, with future technologies and policies and other things. But I think as an immediate response to them, and I think there should be the opportunity, honourable members, to say to the community in Belmont and the people as a whole that we feel that we're with them, that we are with them, and they must be assured that the portfolio committee will do the utmost to ensure that everything is okay and that everything can come to normality. Having said that, thank you very much for your support. Thank you, everyone else. However, honorable members, those of you that have got some plans to say, and I ask you to stay.
Recommendations, that's good. We are
recommendations.
It's supposed to be
other person as findings.
As findings, okay. So you need to remove these findings.
So the findings is just a recommendation?
Yeah.
So there's one to read.
With regards to staff, they were saying they are not finding suitable candidates to fill those posts, especially in the human resource section.
Yeah, marketing, yeah. Company secretary.
After we investigated that issue, they indicated that now it's from when they appointed, but we were not really happy about the first response because they were saying they are not suitable candidates. We said, what about the number two and the number three? Because they interviewed, they are supposed to have more than three people to be interviewed. Transfer of staff, they indicated to us that this process is being delayed because of the unions and the what. But we said they need to take drastic steps to see that the staff that was from Dwarf still transferred through. This evolution of powers, at the end of the day, they indicated to us that there will be more power in 2008. Because the agent was indicating that they are not managing the agency correctly because the functions are still not yet the power are not involved to them.
I think having said that, I don't know whether it is still necessary to remove this and find it. Because apparently there was still that what you told us recommendation, none but there's a bullet here. Meaning that you were still going to reflect these recommendations and articulate them. And we actually tell them to. So that's it. And perhaps it would be important that because you are writing over them, you've got them all. And you've got them. And you've got them. Or you want to sit down with them. I don't know what you're doing
now.
I'm nothing.
Okay, but can I make a recommendation? Clearly the list of recommendations are there. They're not currently be reflecting fully and properly under the heading recommendation. But it's not lost, clearly there. Okay. I want us to suppose that the adoption of the this report within the rise of that list of recommendations that are clearly there, the ag. Clearly, we're not going to have another opportunity to actually. I became sick, I believe, because of the doctor, so I'm not aware of the recommendation. But what I learned from the meeting is that I can clearly hear, it's a very clear list of recommendations, which the people that were in the meeting clearly know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we talk about that? Yeah. I think all the members are correct when they say, and I think the acting chairperson of the ministry that he was correct when he said he was surprised that he didn't find the recommendation reflected in this report, and I think that we should do what she said, because that's what she was doing at the meeting. that it should have been reflected in here. And that we take on board the point that Honorable Osama just mentioned, that from phase 5 and so on onwards, out of the system, that it's taken part, because there are findings that the procedures have been in the meeting that arises obviously under those findings. But we need to do a lot to bring the recommendations that we have to take. So I think we should do that, and I just think that we must include the one for the recommendation around the other things that we do not report as part of the statement that there are many of them that only in Samaritan State Department, which is the annual report. Our recommendation must be that the others must also come. Like
seven.
And that the Department of Water Safety and Forestry must take responsibility of informing them about the accountability in terms of the public finance management. I'm going to ask you.
I wanted to just add before somebody takes that it, I think it will be necessary for the acting chair to scrutinize the report once the recommendations and has been added and adjustment to the report.
That's
your first
thing? The A one has few levels of opposed to you. Thank you very much, on the floor. The last one. Yes. The one the last one is just like everyone else on the count, we must account too as a portfolio investment and therefore a report of the portfolio investment for the year end and not necessarily for the financial year that year. So the report starts off with your person saying many things and then goes to the activities of the committee.
I hope you know that this is